Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4.
Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Let me do a very quick introduction for those of you who I haven't met. I used to worship here with my family, my wife Sarah, and we have four children, although back when we were here we only had two. And then when the Emmanuel family had had enough of us, they thought they would recommend that I go off and train for ordination, because that's always a good way to get someone out of your congregation. So they sent us off to Oak Hill when we went for a few years to train. And then for the last three and a little bit years, I've been a curate of St. Bart's Church in Bath, which is where we are now living with four children. Two more joined us along the way. They are ours. They joined. They came along the way. So that's by way of introduction. Standing here feels very familiar, even though it's been some time since I was last stood here preaching. It's a real joy to be back, and I'm excited to be able to share what is some very, very good news this morning. Really good news. All of the gospel is good news, but this passage should really lift our hearts, and it should challenge us with the question, the resurrection of Jesus, what difference does that make? That's really the question I want us to have as we go through this. What difference? And I'm not thinking spiritual particularly, although we will touch on that. I want to ask the question, practically, as I go along in life, in this world, on planet Earth where God has put me, what difference does it make that Christ is risen? I'm going to pray, and then we'll have a look. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the truth that Christ is risen. And it's because Christ is risen that we gather here today. And we thank you for your word to us. Thank you that it's alive and active. And pray that you would speak to us through it as we look at Colossians together. And we pray in Jesus' name that he would be glorified. Amen. Now, I've said this is very good news. I want to start off a little bit somberly by saying, receiving the news that someone you care about has died is obviously a very difficult place to be and difficult news to hear. When I received the phone call last autumn to say my granddad had passed away, I remember wherever I was at the time, I just kind of stopped. I wasn't quite sure what I was supposed to do for quite a few minutes while you just kind of take the news in. It's always painful to hear that someone you love has died. But as well as it being hard to receive that news, if you've ever been in the position of having to give that news to somebody, then you'll know that that's an extremely difficult and painful place to be as well. To break the news that a loved one has gone is hard. And as I come here this morning, I've got some news to share with you. And that is that Lisa Bonham, known to many of us, who served faithfully in this church and works hard at the administration and keeps everything going, Lisa has died. Lisa has died. But here's some great news. Lisa is with Jesus. Lisa's died, but she's with Jesus. And what's more, one day Lisa is going to return with Jesus in glory. Now, that announcement might seem a bit premature. For those of you who have noticed that Lisa's been singing this morning for us, and I've noticed she's kind of just prodding herself a bit just to check everything is okay. Actually, what we're going to see is that news is really quite timely. Not only for Lisa to hear and to be reminded, but actually it's time for each one of us here this morning to hear. We have each died. That's the news. We have each died. We are risen, and we will appear again in glory. And all of that is true and can only be true with Christ. And with Christ, these two words that are hugely exciting and should really energize and excite every single one of us. If we stop and we think about what do these words with Christ, what do they actually mean for us? What they mean for you and for your life, what it means that you can do, what it means about who you are with Christ. And you see those words repeated in our passage this morning. Because in that short passage that we're going to look at together, we're being urged to grasp our identity. We're being urged to grasp hold of who it is that we are, to remember, says Paul, who you are. And if you grab hold of that identity, then you live out that identity right now, because that's who you are. You live out that identity now. You live it out today and tomorrow and for every day that God has placed us here. And the way that we can do that is to recall these three essential truths that Paul lays out in those four verses that Cynthia just read for us. That is, these three truths that with Christ we have died. With Christ we are raised. And with Christ we will appear in glory. I have a friend who's in nursing. Is anyone here in nursing? I'm sure we've got some nursing. Yeah, there's a few people in nursing. Okay, so I've got this friend who's in nursing, and he says that he will frequently have to be the one to deliver that really sad news. I'm very sorry, but so-and-so has passed away. And nurses and doctors receive special training and guidelines in how to do it. Am I right? Yeah, I'm right. Because it's recognised as being one of the most stressful and difficult parts of the job to have to go and break that news. And so they're trained, they're given these guidelines. And in the guidelines, it's really interesting as you read them, it says the words dead and has died should be used. And more than that, the guidelines say they should be used repeatedly. And the reasons for this, and now I'm reading straight from the nurse's guideline. It says euphemisms such as passed away or we've lost them should be avoided, as these are open to misunderstanding. Words such as dead and died must be used and repeated several times to ensure people understand what is being said and that the message is clear. Now, when Paul wrote this letter to the Christians in Colossae, God had given him a task to do, and his task was to deliver the news that there had been a death. In fact, he was delivering the news that there had been multiple deaths, and it's the Colossians themselves who has died. And Paul delivered that news, and he didn't use euphemisms. He delivered that news firmly and clearly, and he repeated it several times to ensure people understand what is being said and that the message is clear. So if you want to just flick, Colossians isn't a long book, just turn one page and you've got the rest of it there. Chapter 1 and verse 18, and Paul says, "And Christ is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead." He's talking to dead people. Chapter 2, verse 12, "Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism." Who is it that gets buried? Dead people. Chapter 2, verse 20, "You died with Christ." And then again in our passage in chapter 3 and verse 3, Paul says, "For you died." No soft soap from Paul, no euphemisms, no chance for misunderstanding, but from the nurse's guidelines, as if he'd read them himself, repeated to ensure that people understand what is being said and that the message is clear. Colossian believers, you died. But here's the twist, because unlike the experience of hearing or even delivering the news of a death that we've said is very painful and upsetting, Paul delivers his death news with complete and utter joy. I have great delight this morning to tell you that Lisa Bonham died. I genuinely do. And if we grasp this passage, then you'll see why. And you'll see why Paul can deliver the news of the Colossian believers' death and be so excited to remind them that that was the experience that they had. Because a believer's death with Christ breaks their connections with the things of this world. It shatters the rule of the old order of the things of this world, which are bound up and tied up in bondage and slavery to the sin of this world. Of course Paul's excited to say you died to that. It's a wonderful news to give. Back in Colossians 2, he said, Jesus has taken sin away, nailing it to the cross. It died with Christ. And so we have died to sin, in that sin has no claim on us anymore if we are believers of the Lord Jesus. And we need to keep recalling that death. We need to keep turning our backs on the ways of the world, to turning our backs on the ways of sin, and turning instead in submission to Christ, And as we do that, we experience something of what is the eternal reality of who we are now and today. So death with Christ breaks the connections with the things of this world. And our resurrection with Christ then, second point, creates new connections. It brings us into a new heavenly order in the spiritual kingdom where Christ is now reigning as the King. You'll notice at this stage of the letter, Paul is building up to some pretty hard-hitting teaching on what it means to live the moral and ethical Christian life. And that's what he'll go on to do in the bit that we're not looking at after our passage this morning. But before he can do that, and we see this lots in Paul's letters, what he has to do, first of all, is to give the incentive for living the Christian life. That's to say that Paul knows that unless we see first clearly what God has done for us, then we will have wrong ideas and wrong motivations for how we should live as those who follow and believing in Christ. So when Paul goes on, and you can scan your eyes down just past our passage, when he goes on to teach in those few verses time that believers are not to be people of rage and not to be peoples of slander, they're not to be people of malice and anger, but instead Christians are to be people who are marked by compassion and humility and patience and all of those other things he says, what he's saying is all of that is dependent upon the work of Christ. It's only because believers have died with Christ and have been raised with him that our life can be anything like what Paul is going to go on and describe. And so let me ask, as I began by asking, what difference does the resurrection of Jesus make in your life today and mine? It's a good question to ask. You see, I think we're really good at talking about and thinking about the resurrection of Jesus on a kind of a theological plane. And Paul says, doesn't he? He says, the whole gospel hinges on Jesus being raised from the dead. His words from 1 Corinthians, if Christ hasn't been raised, then our preaching is useless and so is your faith. And if Christ hasn't been raised, then your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. And if only for this life we have hope in Christ, then we Christians among all people are to be the most pitied if Christ hasn't been raised. And so what we do is we start to make our theology of the resurrection and put it in its place and how it is central to the Christian faith. How is it that all the other Christian doctrines hold together? They only hold together, Paul's saying, because Christ is risen. So we kind of we get our resurrection on a theological plane, on a head plane, and we get that in place. The other thing we do is to concentrate our thinking and talking about the resurrection as an apologetic. That is, we start to focus on the evidence of the resurrection. And we always do this at Easter, and preachers love to do this at Easter. And we show you the evidence that Jesus really was dead. And there were hundreds of witnesses that saw him alive in the days that passed. And the tomb was empty and it was guarded by a guard. And it had a big heavy stone, so he must have died. And there's a really good place for both of those things. It's good to get our theology and our thinking on the resurrection straight. That's a good thing. That's part of what it means to move from milk to solid food in Scripture. And we need to be able to defend the reason that we have a hope in the resurrection. So we need to be able to do that apologetic work to say, here's why I believe it's true. They're good things to do. But what we see in Colossians 3 and in this short passage is that it doesn't stop here in our heads as knowledge, and it doesn't stop here on our lips as evidence of an apologetic for the resurrection. Paul says in Colossians 3 and verse 1, it must have a practical outworking in our lives as well. The truth of the resurrection must impact what we do, and it must impact what we say, and it has to impact the way that we think. Because my life, my very being, Paul says, is where Christ is. My life is now raised to where Christ is. Indeed, verse 4, Christ is my life, and my life is in him and sustained in him. My life must be sustained by Christ. Why? Because I died. And the only reason that I'm not still dead in my sin, but I'm raised to life, is because I'm raised with him who was raised. And so spiritually speaking, I am today already in heaven because my life is in Christ and Christ is in heaven. The new life to come is mine now because I am in Christ And what I'm doing is I'm waiting for my physical life to one day catch up with what is already a spiritual reality. And friends, if you're a Christian here this morning, then you too have been raised with Christ. That is true for you today, it was true for you yesterday, and it will be true for the rest of your days on this earth. And so the resurrection life, that is yours today. And so the call from Paul is, live it today. Not burdened by the things of this world, not focused on what's around us, as though we're trying to build some kind of eternity for ourselves on earth. But now, this day, and that's the life that we must live out. And then thirdly and finally, with Christ, we will appear in glory. Paul says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. On that day in Romans 8, Paul says that all of creation is groaning and waiting to come. On that day, our hope of future glory becomes the reality. And in John's first letter, he says, dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We have died to ourselves, to slavery to this world. We are risen with Christ to a new life. But of course, we won't experience the fullness of that risen life until Christ, who is our life, appears again. And then, we too will appear in glory. We too will share in his revealed glory. And the world will see him. And the world will see that we each are like him. There's a story of this man. He left work on Friday. And rather than going straight home as he normally did, he went out for a quick pint with his friends. He got home on Sunday afternoon. And he was confronted by his wife, who was quite angry with him by now and was yelling at him. And she said, how would you like it if you didn't see me for 2 or 3 days? And he said, I'd be all right with that. So Monday went by and he didn't see her. And Tuesday came and went and he didn't see her. Until finally on Wednesday, the swelling in his left eye had gone down just enough that he could start to make her out a little bit. The life that we have in Christ is hidden. Paul here is saying, just as Jesus is hidden from the view of the people, he's only seen by eyes of faith, well, so those who follow him will therefore be mocked and will be scorned and even pitied, because we lay claim to a new life that is hidden and can't be seen. People's eyes are swollen, they are closed, and Christ is hidden from them. And our lives are hidden in Christ. But there will be a day, says Paul, when everyone will see. There is a day coming for Christians which will be vindication for them. A day when not only believers, but a day when everybody's swollen eyes will open. And everybody will bow down and declare with their lips that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There is a day when Christians across the world who have been despised and who have been tortured, beaten or killed. There is a day coming when Christians who have been ignored or sidelined by the world. There is a day coming when Christians who have been mocked by the kind of liberal postmodern comedians who seem to be the lifeblood of BBC TV and radio, as you listened to it this morning, as they laugh at those silly old Christians. And aren't we enlightened because we know so much better? Ha ha ha. There is a day coming, says Paul, when vindication will come. There is a day coming, brothers and sisters, when Christ, who is your life, appears, and then you also will appear with him in glory. And everyone will see. And knowing that, says Paul, live now, not setting your hearts on earthly things, but on things above. Because that's where your life is. Let them have their laughs, says Paul. Because your life is not concerned with this world, it's concerned with where Christ is. And from there, your life will one day appear in glory. As we draw to a close, let me just finish by noticing where Paul is going to go next. His very next words will be verse 5. Put to death, therefore. Paul is saying you have died, sin has no hold on you anymore. And that is an eternal reality and an eternal truth. But until we appear with Christ in glory, that reality won't be fully realised. And we know that from our experience of living in this world today, don't we? And so we must be continually about the work of putting to death the things that are not of Christ in whom we have life. You see, to fully understand the impact of what it means that we are resurrected with Christ, we have to get hold of the fact that we've died. And so Paul will go on to say that we need to put to death anything that we're holding on to that is dead to us and which we are dead to. Paul urges us by saying, now that you are new in Christ, live new lives in him. And we forget that, don't we? People do that thing when you've just moved house or you've changed job and you're driving home and you've been somewhere else and you're distracted and you're thinking about something else and you suddenly realise that you're driving or you're walking back towards your old job or your old house. That was the way that you're so used to going that it's just become a habit that kind of kicks in. And without thinking, you'll back off down that road. Well, that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, remember that you've died to this world. Remember that you're not of this world. You're not living for this world anymore. You have died and you've been raised to a new life in Christ. And so he's saying, don't slip into the old habits. You know, when we're tempted and we give in to temptation, we're going down an old road. When our thinking is not on Jesus, but it is on ourselves and our wants and our needs. Well, suddenly we're drifting off back down an old road to somewhere that we just don't live anymore. You said goodbye to that, says Paul. You left behind your old ways and you have a new way to go now. You have a new way of acting and a new way of thinking and a new way of speaking. You see that Lisa, that death that you died, that wasn't figurative. If you're a brother and sister in Christ this morning, that death that you died was not figurative. Actually, that was a real event. An event in history that severed your links with this world and with sin. And therefore be in practice what you are in reality. Risen beings, indwelt by the life of Christ. And our lives in him. And it's with dependence upon the power of Christ, with Christ, that we're called to live the risen life with Christ today as we prepare for the day, glorious day, when with Christ we will appear in glory. Let's pray. Father, this news this morning is indeed a reminder and a refreshment of who we are in Christ. We thank you for his death on the cross. We thank you that by faith we too can benefit from that death, that we too can be those who have died to the things of this world, that we right now are those who are risen, indwelt by Christ and our lives in him, as we long with all of creation for that day when he will appear. And we will appear with him in glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.